Missing Braves baseball? Yeah, us too. So Nick and Chris are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Braves' 1995 World Series title as they're joined each week by a member of the 95 team.
Mark gets the sign. The wind and the pitch. Here it is. Swung. Fly ball deep left center. Grissom on the run. Yes! Atlanta Braves have given you a championship.
Only here on the home of the Braves, The Fan.
Now, I would imagine there are very few people out there that can say they've hit home runs in three consecutive World Series games. Ryan Klesko is one of the few, and he joins us right now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Ryan, thanks for coming on and looking back at that 95 season.
Yes, sir. Pleasure. It's a lot of cool memories that I actually had forgotten about, you know, small stuff. So my son wasn't born back then, so we're just sitting there watching it together every night, and he's wondering after the first couple games if I was ever going to get a hit, and I was too.
What do you think when you see the 25-year-ago version of you? Like, we joke about baby faces, and I'm not even sure who had a shave and who didn't back then.
Yeah, I think we had to shave, but it probably wouldn't have been good if we wouldn't have shaved anyways. It's been just real patchy everywhere. But, yeah, I don't – you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I was just like, you know, remembering stuff and that I, you know, and then what stuff that happened to some of the players. And it's all, you know, because I haven't seen it, right? The only thing I've ever seen is some YouTube clips of the home runs. And I don't, and I was asking people before, have they even aired this before? Has it been on TV? And so, you know, my phone's blown up. And like I said, it's just nice to be able to sit there with my son and to watch some things. And of course, he's 11, he's a ball player. He's like, I can't believe you swing at that pitch. You know, stuff like that.
You're getting heckled in your own house.
That's tough love.
Oh yeah. Oh, my wife was heckling me. Dude, you know, I got so mad I had to leave the room because she's like, you know, because I coached my son's travel ball team. So she goes, I thought you tell the kids not to swing at the first pitch, and here you are doing it. I'm like, get out of here.
Do as I say, not as I do. Ryan Klesko with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Aside from the celebration at the end, when everybody dogpiles after game six, what stands out the most for you when you look at the run of that entire year?
You know, I did a little bit of everything. You know, it's like, okay, we battled Colorado and it was a straight battle. I mean, they had a bomb squad. They were tough. You know, we went into Cincinnati and the pitching was phenomenal. And then here you are facing the Cleveland Indians, which of course everybody thought we were going to get beat by them. They had a bomb squad. They had, you know, Hall of Famers and hitters in every position. You're facing Oral Hershiser, Dennis Martinez. But, you know, and again, you know, when you look back at it, you know, it's like, okay, well, good pitching normally shuts down good hitting and what they keep saying. But back then, people weren't saying that. They were saying Cleveland was going to come in and, you know, they didn't know if the pitchers can shut down that type of offense. But I tell you what, you would think there would be a couple blow-up games where that, you know, both teams have scored a lot of runs. There really wasn't. It was just great pitching by both teams, and it held a lot of the big bats down. You know, I think Jim Tomei finally hit a home run, and I think Albert Bell hit one last night in that one. But for the most part, those big offensive players were shut down in that series.
We had John Schoholtz on earlier, and we had talked about, think about this, they trusted three guys to basically man three of the eight everyday positions, and you, Javi, and Chipper. You guys, like, that was a team that had been to a couple of World Series and was certainly a good team, but three new faces come in, and whether they invigorated the lineup, they needed a power bat when they got McGriff. But it is interesting that three of the eight guys were entrusted to play as many games as you guys did that year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you bring them up, you bring them down, you see who can play. You know, Javi and I, you know, we played in 94, mm-hmm. got called up 92, 93. It's not like we were true rookies. You know, that was really my second full year. You know, my first full year was when we won the World Series in 95. 94 was strike shortened. But, I think we'd been around enough and he'd seen us hit enough and play enough, you know. And most people don't realize, you know, I never even played a day in the outfield in my life up until Ron Gant got hurt in that motorcycle accident. So, you know, I'm sitting here trying to learn a position I never played before, you know, during 94, 95, and trying to learn a position, and then trying to keep, you know, Bobby tried to keep me on my bat in there as long as he could. But, you know, it's like, why do they take you out for defense? I play and look at my son, I said, because I was terrible.
Well, there's a moment of honesty.
Did you? Let me ask you. Did you honestly look at American League play and go the DH? Boy, that must be pretty fun. I don't have to do anything except hit.
No, because I enjoyed playing first base. I felt like, you know, I was a very good first baseman. I got the balls most of the guys couldn't get to. You know, the first basemen generally are a little bit slower, right? They don't have a lot of speed. I know I didn't have a lot of stolen bases in Atlanta, but we didn't have the green light. But, you know, I went over to San Diego, mm-hmm. you know, stole a lot of bases. And, you know, I was quick. So I got to the ball. I covered more ground in that first base hole than most play. But then, of course, when you do that, you're going to make more errors because you're getting to more baseballs than you can. But you know, when the balls were in the dirt, I picked them out. But I was really, really good at first base. I played there my whole life. And what people don't realize is it takes years and years to learn that ball off the bat. You're on the opposite side of the field, so the ball's doing different stuff on you. But I was really a first baseman at heart. But I got comfortable in the outfield after, you know, working my butt off several years in a row. I think 1 year up until like the last month or two of the season, I never even had an error in the outfield. 1 year, I think, was the top fielding percentage in outfielders. And I had above average arm because I was drafted as a pitcher, but I had to learn the position. So, of course, I'm going to come out when the team's in an important game and they've got the lead, you know, because, I was confident on making most of the plays, but, I mean, there's just stuff that happens out there that if you've never been out there, you know, it's like taking Fred McGriff off first base and telling him to go pitch. I mean, he's not going to do well at first. I mean, he might have a good arm, but, you know, it's just a matter of going out there, having fun, trying to help your team win, and installing the confidence that they have in you and say, hey, just go out and hit and we'll work on defense daily. And Jimmy Williams hit me more dang fungos and Pat Corrales until my leg, you know, in spring training every year, my legs were falling off. I'm just trying to learn the position. So I enjoyed it. It was a way for me to get in the lineup, right? If Ron Gant doesn't get hurt and you know, and Ronnie's a great player, he's got another all-star in the outfield. If he doesn't get hurt and Chipper doesn't blow out his knee, I'm probably most likely never put a Braves uniform and get most people don't realize that. I get traded because there's no room, right? There's no room for me. And like a lot of guys, I probably played with in the minor leagues in the Braves organization at least about 20 guys that were in the Braves minor league organization that got cut by the Braves and went on to have a successful career in the major leagues. There was no room. There was prospects everywhere. I mean, they were just loaded at every position. And that was a good thing because John Schuerholz and Bobby and those guys had great prospects. So if they needed a trade to get a Greg Maddux or a trade for another pitcher that was a playoff run, they could trade those prospects to a different organization that other teams wanted. So the Braves scouts, Paul, you know, Snyder and those guys, they did such a great job with their draft picks and Chipper and those guys. You know, Vinny Castilla was on, you know, and people don't realize we had Vinny Castilla. We had Billy Taylor, which pitched for was a closer for the Oakland Athletics. And we had guys we were letting go or trading because there was no room. So that's a good thing to have to be able to do that. And you know, I think, you know, I mean, look at some of the key plays. You know, Javi had several big hits in that series. And Brad Klontz came in and Pedro Rabon came in. And you see last night, and Klontz got some big – those are all young guys. We came up together in the minor leagues. And I think that every one of those guys played a big part in that series, not just the veterans but some of the young guys.
Ryan Klesko with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. We talked to David Justice about it. We'll ask you. You lose game five. You're coming back home. When do you catch wind of what David Justice had to say?
Well, I mean, he just he's one of those guys that just is a leader, you know. And he you know, I know there was some negative stuff in there, and he was hitting the ball pretty good. He made a great catch last night, but David's confidence in being a more or less a veteran guy to help the offense was always positive, and he was always picking everybody up and talking to the players and hey, this is what this guy likes to do. David was a big influence and a big leader amongst the offensive guys, and there were so many leaders on that team. You had Glavin, you had all these veteran guys that would just kind of just lead by example. He wasn't one legit team leader, in my opinion. It was a mixture of all the guys, and DJ was the guy that you wanted. He had a big hit. I think he had a big hit last night. He was one of those guys that you wanted up to bat or on defense when you needed a big play, and he was always vocal when it came to that stuff. And even I know he took some heat when he called some of the fans out, and that was just to try to get the fans, you know, fired back up because Cleveland was so much louder than Atlanta, and he was just trying to get the fans fired up and getting them a little bit louder. And I think it kind of blew up in his face. But in the end, he hit the game-winning home run. Everybody forgave him, right?
Yeah. How would you describe
and then some.
Yeah. How would you describe the personality of that team? Like, if you were thinking about 95, is there a couple of words that you would collectively, how would you describe this bunch?
You know, I loved the whole time down there. I think it was a kind of a core base. You know, there were some guys moving in and out, but I mean, just everything, every time that team went on the field, we knew we had a chance of winning. And if we were behind, we knew we can come back. And you know, I mean, it was that way for years. You know, obviously, you look back at the team, you hoped that you won more championships, but we had a heck of a run. You know, if you look back at it, I look at the glass half full. We did win one, and is better than none, and had that chance to be there. And I know some of the veteran guys had been there. They said there was a little pressure because they had lost to the Twins and the Toronto, but there was the younger guys that came in behind it. We just got there, so. But I don't see none of the veteran guys in that negativity of like, oh, or any panic mode. We just knew that eventually if we just kept playing hard, things would turn our way. And then that was the year that it all happened, all came together.
Were you guys, I'll ask the board, tell me, were you guys the right kind of cocky? Like, did you walk on the field thinking, you know, you have no idea what's about to happen to you today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think any successful team has that. You know, anytime you step on the field, no matter what team you're playing with, you look at the positive side. If this team pulls it all together and this guy can do this, this guy can do that, you got a chance of winning. Even when I was in San Diego and went to the playoffs a couple of years, I always had that confidence. Like, you know, I always looked at the players and thought that we always had a chance to win, even though sometimes you didn't. But that team, I mean, when you got Mad Dog going out on the hill and Glav and Smoltz when they're on, I mean, it doesn't matter who you send out there. We got a good chance of winning it all. And you know, obviously, it happened that year, and there were some big hits, right? Some guys. I mean, look at Marquise Grissom hitting. I mean, you got Polonia coming off. You know, he filled in left field when I was DH, and Cleveland got a big hit. And I mean, it takes a whole village. It's just not one guy. It's not one pitcher. It's the whole team. And that's how you. That's the only way you're going to win the World Series. Your bullpen's got to come in and do everything. And I think that's what some people think in the past. I always get asked the question. You know, what do you think, you know, what cost you some games, or what do you think, you know, what lost you, what were you guys weak in? And I was like, I don't think we're weak anywhere. And I felt that sometimes our bullpen at times had some issues that they just weren't getting worked that much. And so they were a little bit rusty. Well, if you ask that question, well, why is that? Because the dang starters were all going 7, 8, 9 innings, right? And I mean, who wants to go pull out Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, Avery out of the game when they want to go all the way, right?
Yeah, who's pitching in high-pressure situations out of that bullpen when they don't need to? I mean, you said it, the starters and what they were able to do, it speaks for itself. So that's a valid point you bring up.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's the only thing I can think back, and it's not that anybody's fault. It's just that our bullpen didn't have that much work in certain situations because the starters were always going so long, so they were underworked. And I think when Pedro came in, for instance, like last night when they showed that, you know, Pedro hadn't pitched in, what, 19 days or 16 days or something like that and got the save because Wohlers had thrown me a pitch. And Wohlers was throwing hard that night. He just made a couple mistakes, and Manny hit the ball, and then Pedro came in and did the job, right? And he hadn't pitched in 19 days. And it's like I said, it's nobody's fault. It's the only fault it was our starters were so dang good that some of our bullpen guys sat for a week or two before they could pitch. And that's the only thing that I can see that maybe hurt us in some of the playoff games.
Hey, Ryan, were those bat flips or was that just an extension of a long swing?
Well, I mean, so the whole thing was there was a little bit of animosity about one of the players hitting a home run. I can't remember when it was or – and there were some things being said back and forth, and I think that it came down to where, you know, there was, you know, it was pretty intense stuff. And I just remember DJ going around telling anybody, if you get a hold of one, you know, pimp the shit out of it because you know, I think one of their players did it and kind of showed up one of our pitchers and there was some stuff said, I think, in the paper. So it was kind of in the back of my mind, if you did get a hold of one, you kind of wanted to kind of do it a little bit extra. I think when Manny hit his, he walked down the line about 8 or 9 steps.
Yeah, Chipper tweeted about that last night, so you're definitely right on that one.
It was a leisurely stroll, no doubt about it.
Yeah, he walked a long way. So back then, you really didn't get away with a whole lot of that. Nowadays, you do. But my finish kind of like, you know, my finish was a little bit different, but those are definitely a little bit over, I mean, done a little bit more than I would during the season, especially on certain pitchers and stuff. But the only, you know, my finish was my finish. My finish was, you know, kind of, you know, high, and had kind of, you know, one year I developed it a little bit later in my career. I had a little bit of a wrist injury, so I had to start letting go with one hand a little bit early. And that's when Freddie McGriff said I was trying to copy his finish. But anyways, you know, it's just one of those things to where, yeah, it was a little bit more glorified. It was in the World Series, and there was some smack talk going on. I think when Tomei hit a ball, he kind of let go of the bat a little bit late, and he said some pine tar stuck to his hand. His bat almost kind of ended up in our dugout. So there was some things, you know, so in the back of your mind is like, yeah, I think we're going to give it a little extra flip here if you get a hold of one. But I kind of always had a little bit of that anyways, but I really it was just more of the finish. It was just because of the swing. I wouldn't call it a long swing. I would call it a powerful swing, because a long swing is not good in baseball. I teach my kids we want a short swing, a long finish.
Yeah, the bat ended up behind your ear, though. Glavin actually said he did talk about your swing. So let's finish up with this. Am I wrong, or did you go back down? Was it Boynton Beach pretty quickly? Like, did you spend that off season after you won a World Series here in Atlanta, where the possibility of a pat on the back and a free beer or a free dinner really probably existed?
No, I most of the time I was back. I was back and forth from Atlanta to into Palm Beach. I spent a little bit of time around and as much as I could. But you know, I split my time between Florida and here, and it was definitely fun. You know, it was great. The fans have always been great. They still are today, and appreciative. And you know, I can't believe it's been so long, but you know, people still walk up and talk about it, so it's fun. And you know, obviously we wish we had more championships in Atlanta. You know, I went to the Falcons game versus the Patriots, and I went to the Georgia game, and I don't know if I was bad luck to those guys, but I showed up at both games and we were winning and we ended up losing them, so I'm not going to any more of those games.
Well, listen, hopefully
the city of Atlanta thanks you, sir.
Hopefully Truist Park will be open again. You can show up along with the rest of your teammates, because it's the 25th anniversary, and I think a lot of people want to give you a well-deserved round of applause this year. So let's hope that happens when all is said and done.
And Nick, you looked at his number. Ryan, you had a better career than maybe a lot of people. Look, I don't know what people think about your career. I think it was a hell of a lot better than maybe people think.
You talked about not having the green light. That season in 2001 in San Diego, you stole 23 bases for people that don't know.
Yeah, I back-to-back years where I stole 20 bases, but I think going into the All-Star game, when I made the All-Star game, I was second in the league in stolen bases. I was already at like 18 at half, and then people started pitching out against me and quick-stepping me. But I ran a pretty good 60. I just, you know, we didn't run a lot in Atlanta, and it was, you know, the guys that were really, really fast got the green light, but we just didn't do a lot of running. You know, people don't realize how fast Chipper was and some of these other guys. You know, when you go to San Diego, if you've got some speed and you got a guy that's picking up, he's got a high leg kick, you want to take that extra base. When you got a small market team, you get to do as much as you can to try to win and try to take those extra bases. I thought I had a fun career, had a good career. You know, I think career right around 280, 279, 280. You know, I played every day. Just about when I went to San Diego and improved my averages against lefties as I started playing more. Went to playoffs a couple of years. I mean, I loved it. You know, got to play with several Hall of Famers, all the Braves guys, Ricky Henderson, Trevor Hoffman, Barry Bonds broke the all-time home runs record and picked me up in the dugout. We became friends. And so I had a really blessed career. I mean, I just to be able to enjoy and spend the time with these guys to see the records being broke with Ricky Henderson. I drove in Ricky Henderson to tie the all-time runs record, and then he hit a home run to break it. And again, to see all that stuff with Barry Bonds breaking the home run record, and then Trevor Hoffman was the all-time saves record before Mariano. So I look back and I was like, you know, it was really cool to have some really cool teammates and win a world championship. And felt that I really worked hard to get better every year as a player in the outfield and playing first base, and look back and said, yeah, if I'd have, you know, I could have been better, you know, early on. Yeah, I a little bit overswing early on my career, but you know, I worked hard, I shortened up my swing, and just got continually better. And that's what you continue to do. That's what the guys do, right? And continue to try to improve yourself and get better at the game, or else next thing you know, you won't have a job because the league's going to adjust to you. And they ask you, you know, what's the key to staying around the major leagues so long? Is you have to continue to work to get better, because they're continuously working to get you out.
Well, you did it. The career speaks for itself. Ryan Klesko, again, hopefully we'll see you at Truist Park when all is said and done. Thanks for sharing some of those memories, especially from 95 with us.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll talk soon.
Ryan Klesko joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.